The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Hey, welcome, my brother, me, and advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your
expert in spitting.
Okay. I'm your spittlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother, celebrity body language interpreter, and sort of envoy to the stars, and all the sweet drama that exists in the nebulous sort of space between them, Griffin McElroy. And boys, we got a doozer to break down for you today.
Yeah.
Isn't it strange? 90s kids are going to love this one.
Oh, my God.
They're wild for it.
Remember? Because the Magic Loogie episode of Seinfeld recreated the Zapruder film as a spitting incident. And now that is happening in real life.
Funny show. Yeah. Funny life.
It's just like when I had my vasectomy and the doctor dropped a Junior Mint into my testicles.
Yeah.
Just like in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it felt pretty good.
It still feels good. Yeah, man. Everyone should try it.
Yeah, that's why we call this show My Brother, My Waddler, and Me.
And so you've just heard all the takes that you need to at this point about these two famouses and if one spit it on the other one. But we're here, right. I think, to put our own sort of like fucked up, twisted, skewed spin on it.
You're right.
Because I think the three of us have operated in these circles. I've never met Christopher or Harold, but I do.
I haven't met Christopher or Harold,
but I have probably met people who have met Christopher and Harold. So I feel uniquely qualified to rule on this one. First of all, can't wait to see this
first
flick.
Of all, get it out of the
gotta
way.
Gotta get it. Gotta get day one. Gotta get my tickets to this flick. I don't know what the name of it is.
Seems like the whole thing was smooth and easy. It's gonna be absolute slam dunk. Everyone seems happy with it.
First step in the process is find out the name of the flick, and then I'm gonna get
Spit Night at the Hawksbury.
Spit Night at the Hawksbury. Yeah. Gonna get on Fandango and secure my tickets.
It's
promptly.
A Roku exclusive.
It's on Roku, and so that's going to give us a lot of the clues that we need, but we don't need them.
Lesser podcasts
need to see the film, and then they'll be able to rule on it. I'm a body language expert to the stars. Go ahead, Travis.
The one thing I know about the movie, is that if you look at the cast, just like the four people, I would say
overwhelmed by beauty. You're overwhelmed.
Well, but also it seems like maybe four different movies were being made at the same time. When I tell you that it's Florence Pugh, who's great. And then Chris Pine. Oh, I could see them being in the
same movie.
Unless
she's bad by the time you're listening to this.
It's Thursday when we're recording.
It's Thursday.
Who knows?
There's a lot of ball game between now and release day. Okay.
So, but here's what I'm saying. I could see Florence Pugh and Chris Pine being in the same movie. Okay. Then we add in Harold Stiles. Okay, that's interesting. And then Nick Kroll is there. And I'm like, what is this movie about? What is this thing happening?
It's got funny folks in it. Okay, so let's get into it. We don't see the spit.
No, it's invisible.
We don't see the spit land. But if we did sort of try to chart the trajectory of it, it looks like it hit Chris Pine on his wiener area.
Yeah. Now,
there's a spit, and then Chris Pine looks down at his wiener area, and he goes, wow. He's like, wow.
Wow. And I want to put the tiger on the table and yell at it right
away. Some Tuesday.
Please.
Because Chris Pine's rep came out and was like, this is ridiculous. So, and yeah, frankly, and this is an overused phrase, but protests too much.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's ridiculous that you would even think this. Why would you think that these two men would have any kind of beef? Why would there be? That's ridiculous. And it's just like, just say no. Why did you use so many words?
And then Harold came out and he was like, yeah, I flew to Venice to spit on Chris Pine. But I gave it a tone of voice that I may be projecting my own sort of insecurities onto it, because he may have very well said, yeah, I flew to Venice to spit on Chris Pine. Like, if I knew that I would have that opportunity to spit on Star Trek's Chris Pine, I would fly to Venice for that.
On the gray man's Chris Pine? Hell yeah, I'd spit on him. As long as it was consensual. I'm saying if it was consensual, because everyone saw that and was like, whoa, there must be beef. But we don't know the relationship between these two people.
And that brings me to my main point. Harold Stylish has been famous since he was a baby. Uh-huh. And he was
the Gerber baby.
He was Gerber's baby. He was the Coppertone baby with the butt that comes out.
He was all that the baby in that one insurance commercial that like talked about insurance. You guys remember that?
Bop. He was Success Kid. He was all these famous children. And then he was in One Direction with Zayn.
Which split into multiple directions, by the way. So, like, time to rename that band. Yeah.
And that's one of Travis's funny jokes that he tells. Travis has a bunch of them about One Direction. But anyway, all of this is to say,
we're building to something.
We're building to my point, which is, until this point in his life, Harold Stylish has been told that it's good for him to spit on people. That people like it when he spits on them because of his, like, tremendous fame. Like, there's so many. If you know who he is,
he's never been chastised for one of his actions.
I'm actually really excited that it seems like he found a boundary, because up until now, everyone's just been like, we love it. Harold Stylish, whatever you do, it's great, man. That's great. That song, that's great. Everything you do is great.
Chris Pine came up to him afterwards. He's like, there'll be a consequence for that.
And he was like, oh, like,
what's that? What do you mean?
What? I don't know. I don't know this word.
Quince.
So that's
so foreign to me.
When Chris Pine looks down at his dirtied lap, he is not. It's not disbelief. It's thoughtful consideration of like, is this good? This man
is this good?
Is this good? He's very famous and very handsome. Is this a good thing he did to me? I don't know.
He spat upon my chinos. Do I hate this? Do I love it?
Love this?
I think what you're seeing in Chris Pine's face.
Break it down.
If you follow the logic, you can watch it. You can see his face. Here's what he's thinking. Harry Styles just spit on my dick.
Yeah.
I know I'm already Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
And that was good.
I liked that
I don't know how many more of those, if any, I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Should I throw Harry Styles off his balcony?
I haven't done. Just let me finish, because I got to walk you through Chris Pine's mental state. I don't love this for obvious reasons.
I'm wet. Right now, I'm wet now and sticky.
I'm wet now and I don't like it. Okay. And everyone knows. There is a certain chain of events here wherein, when you look up Chris Pine in the future encyclopedia, it is actor on whom's dick Harry Styles spit.
Yeah.
I have not established so many other pillars of my identity that it wouldn't be fairly high up if this continues to be the thing that everybody talks about forever, right?
Interesting.
Like, I don't want this to be a thing where like people see me and they're like, lol, Anchorman 3, let's get Chris Pine in there so somebody can spit on his dick.
Now, that is a good point, Justin. Chris Pine doesn't want his dick referenced in comedy for a while. He wants it referenced in drama, right? He's like, I'm fine if people make dramas about my dick. That's fine.
Right. And then, because it's just sort of like Chris Rock right now. Every script he gets, there's like three pages that's like, and then someone hits you full force in the face.
Yeah.
Because America has been talking about that a lot.
And I am surprised that the reps for those two gentlemen did not pull a similar gambit of like, do you really think Willard Smith would hit Chris Rock at the Oscars? Come on. The internet's just chewing its cud, isn't it?
Yeah, the internet feeds itself.
It's an Ouroboros, you see.
They're just like us. They're just like us.
They spit on each other's dicks, just like us.
Was kidding around. He was attempting to do face paint and is extremely bad at it.
There was a fly on Chris Rock's cheek, and he was trying to help him out.
There was a small fire on Chris Pine's balls. And
Again.
And this British hero who served his country in Dunkirk, he saved him.
At least now if you ask Will Smith his favorite singer, you know that his answer is always going to be, Harry Styles. He's basically my favorite dude. Did you see what he spit on Chris Pine's dick? I kind of just left the public consciousness at that point for a while.
Problems are our problems.
They're just like us.
And now, I love that about them.
And hey, you know, maybe Chris Pine was hungry and Harry Styles could sense that and he was trying to mama bird into his mouth and he just missed.
There's so many different great possibilities for what could have happened.
But, right?
Yeah, but none of them did that we know of. History will never know. I will say this.
Please say
if Harry Styles did spit on Chris Pine, he should be embarrassed of the bad loogie he did.
It wasn't so big enough to see.
It wasn't impressive. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to go to town, you better go to Lincoln. Hock one.
Really get one
Don't
out
leave
there.
Leave that room for error.
Maybe that was it. Maybe there was no loogie, but maybe Harold Stylish has perfected like making a loogie sound effect. And he like made it. And then Chris Pine was like, I definitely have just gotten spit upon.
Oh, that's
And then
good.
He looked down and he was like, "What? Wow, there's no spit. But I was convinced the way you made the sound with your mouth.
That's
I thought I'd been spit upon. Is this another one of your magic goofs?
Yeah.
That it's you're like, known for.
It's like when you step to someone, you're like, you flinched. It was like that. It was a fake. It was a fake spit. And there's a cultural barrier there, isn't
and
there?
A quiet beauty.
There's a quiet beauty quiet and a cultural barrier. Let's you know what? We solved it. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's settled. It's settled. This is an advice show. We're just like you. That means we like to help you live the best, fullest life that you can. If you have questions, you send them to mbmbam@maximumfun.org and we help you. This is an advice show. We're ready to help you. We stand ready. We're by your side, ready to do
What was Florence Pugh doing during all this?
We have moved on. I don't know.
Getting
I
mean, popcorn?
I don't know why Sorry. You are gripping so tightly. We have moved on.
My son.
I want to be part of the culture.
Surprise. My son is a year and a half old.
Congrats.
And we've been lucky to have a lot of gifts sent to him from generous family and friends. However, there's one problem. People keep sending in personalized piggy banks. We're now at 4 piggy banks, and we're running out of places to keep these things. The second piggy bank was funny. After the third piggy bank, I thought, surely we won't get any more, but they still keep coming. We can't sell them because they have our son's full name and birth date on them.
Yeah.
Brothers, please, what do we do about all these banks? That's from piggy bank plethora.
Let me say this. Piggy banks these days are bullshit.
Oh.
Okay. Because they put a little hole on the bottom of it that you can pop out and you can get the money. The whole thing with piggy banks is you put all your, you know, leftover coins from the ice cream stand.
And maybe accidentally like an arcade token or something. You'll find that later.
Yeah, you'll get that out later. And then when the need for money is so great, you must smash this beloved object so that you can get the stuff out of it. So maybe this is a return to a better time where you have to smash these banks because times are tough out there.
We should smash more banks, frankly, than just piggy banks. But
this is good practice.
Yeah, it's good practice for smashing banks. Here's, I was struck by something, Justin, hearing you read it so well out loud, by the way. Very well read.
You did a great job. I also wanted to say
we never stopped
job.
To actually like.
It was good delivery. You did great. But the second bank was funny. Made me think, is this a possibility? Like, have you talked about, is this a bit your family is doing? With Clearly. You included. Like, I'm not saying they got behind your back and talked about it. I'm saying that, like, was there accidentally they got two banks, right? And you talked about it with your family and were like, this is funny. They thought, because we got two. And then there were some members of your family, perhaps, that were like, we'll keep the bit rolling.
Ooh.
And we'll do, like, a third and a fourth. And, you know, we'll give them another one for their second birthday. And they're going to be like, a piggy bank is the thing to get this kid.
Yes.
Because that, we've talked about it before, once your family is like, oh, they love, you know, unicorns. Let's get them a unicorn every time.
Yeah.
Right?
You need to understand the rules of engagement.
Like
which
movie?
Happened, the movie, and also the real stuff, because we have dabbled in this where, like, one of you guys will get one of my beautiful bundles of joy, like some extra sloppy gack, and then be like,
when you
Merry
say
Christmas.
One of you, I would never do that.
Justin will get my son some extra sloppy gack, and then, you know, in return, it's like, oh, okay, well, here's a very loud party robot for your children, and it doesn't, you can't turn it off. So once you have to step it up, at least answer in kind, maybe escalate it. I'm thinking get them, someone who has given you a piggy bank for your child, get them a piggy bank with their adult name on it and,
oh my God.
And a date in the future. But do not explain what that means, what that date is.
That
kind of
seems
happen.
Like a threat, though, Griffin.
Yeah, maybe a little bit, huh? Or maybe it's like, you'll need this money on, you know, July 28th, 2029. Or maybe something else. Maybe something else happens. I don't know. I do not know.
I love having piggy banks around our house.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always, whenever I find loose change in there, I just leave them and put them in the girls' piggy banks. Now I have a place to put change. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And it's also great because sometimes you go to the car wash and you're like, oh, I need some quarters. Time to get on it. We got a big old Coke bottle bank for BB.
I got a subscription to Magic Tunnel, so that's not a problem for me anymore. I roll right through.
You
this
have
game,
a
my
car wash subscription?
Subscription.
And it's called Magic Tunnel?
Hey, Mr. Green-Eyed Monster, maybe you could calm down a little bit. I do okay, and my wife's a physician, so who doesn't make money from that, but like I do okay, and so I got a subscription to the car wash.
Okay,
and I went with the mid tier.
Okay, but what is this? Why do you need to subscribe? Why do you need to subscribe? Why can't you just go and get your car washed when it's dirty? I don't know why you need to subscribe to it.
Probably a better deal, I have to assume.
If you go through the Magic Tunnel as much as I do, you're basically losing money if you don't have a subscription.
Now, Justin, when you say the phrase, when you go through the Magic Tunnel as much as I do you know, like, how many, and I'm like, my mind is boggled by how many different things that could be a euphemism for?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In this case, it's a clean car.
A clean car. Why are you letting your car get so dirty so often?
Kids just love it. They're just wild about
this
car wash.
The car wash experience.
The car wash experience.
Oh, I thought you said kids love your car and they keep running
they
up
won't stop
to
touching
it and getting their disgusting fingers.
Kids love
up.
This car wash. You show up, they're throwing dum-dums in your car, some dog biscuits, they're hand washing, there's lights, there's sounds,
whoa.
Projections.
Hold on, let's not just gloss over this, Justin. You don't have a dog.
Also, what you're describing can't possibly exist. A little bit of car wash slash dinner theater for children.
Yeah, it's fantastic. If Travis, I'm sorry, but like, if I don't have a dog now, but if I have a subscription to the car wash and every time I go through, I could be getting a dog biscuit and I don't, those costs add up.
That's a
fair
point.
This is why you're broke all the time, because you don't think about dollars and cents. You know what I mean? I got
broke.
A huge garbage bag full of dog biscuits in my house.
What are you gonna
do? I'm not even
with
worried about coyotes because I throw that out there. That's going to keep them busy all day long.
Well, it'll also turn your house into a fucking coyote just hang zone.
It's going to get ugly in there.
I put weed in the dog biscuits.
Oh,
whoa.
That's not an okay thing to say, but go ahead.
For coyotes.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, no, they're bad. They're gross
for coyotes.
Dogs. Yeah.
They kill the deer around the house.
Oh, well, deer are terrible. They killed my willow tree. We don't need to talk. We don't have to go into it.
Okay, you know what? They ate all my sweet blackberries. So
this is what
I
understand.
And for that, they deserve death. I agree. I agree they're fucking Farmer John over there trying to stab Peter Cottontail with your pitchfork.
Peter Cottontail should have stayed the fuck out of McGregor's garden.
Griffin, do you want me to kill the deer or kill the coyote? Because I got to kill one of them. So you choose, okay? The blood's on your hands.
It seems like the Magic Tunnel is where you go to slake the thirst of your dark passenger so that the wildlife in your neighborhood doesn't have to be killed for eating your berries or fucked up on these crazy biscuits.
There is a coyote in the region right now.
Just one?
Maybe probably a pack, right? They tend to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't like show up and give you a brochure with how many are in the region.
Count us.
Hey, man, yeah. We're required by law. We're moving into the neighborhood just then to stop.
It's like, not. I know. They kill the deer and they're like bad. They suck. They're terrible, right? These terrible coyotes. And they'll attack children if they're out there. And my kids know about this. So they're kind of worried about it. And man, yeah. I got to say, I don't have to fight with my kids about coming inside or listening to me really at all. They don't listen to me when I say, hey, come inside. It's time to go get ready for bed. But they'll listen to the coyotes.
Yeah, you should listen to your dad.
Out there.
Listen, your dad's working hard. You should listen to him. He's a good guy. I love his podcast.
No, but they're like that. They'll respond to that. If I say come in, they say no. If I say come in, there's coyotes out there. Then they'll come in. It's no problem.
Brush your teeth. There's coyotes.
I wish there
in
were
the
indoor
food.
Coyotes. Is what I'm saying. That
those are called dogs, Justin.
But I can't threaten my kids with a dog.
Sure, you could.
I can't say.
Brush your teeth, or I'm going to get a dog.
Brush your teeth, or Mr. Brutus is going to pounce when you least expect it.
This is
why do you think I have all these dog biscuits, kids? You think I'd get these if I didn't have a secret dog?
Guys, can I ask a question? Because I'm a little lost. Why do you guys keep asking me about my car wash?
we bring it up every week.
It's a normal thing. It scans your license plate, so you don't have to stop and like.
Oh, you're so on the grid.
It's got future tech. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm not Travis. I'm not just on the grid. I am the kind of person that has a car wash subscription. I'm on a specific point that I am 100% locatable.
He's on the apex of the grid. Yeah. He's got his own axis. Hey, can we go to the wizard? The wizard's got a good one for
that.
Us today.
I love that. Hey, guys, I'm having a great time. This has been so fun.
I'm so glad, man.
Okay. I love doing this show with you guys.
So the wizard sent this one in via his familiar, who is a raven named Dylan, sent this in. Thank you, Dylan. It's a WikiHow, and the title of the WikiHow is How to Moan. How to Moan.
Oh, boy.
Moaning,
oh, boy.
Moaning tells your partner that you're turned on or feeling pleasure.
Hey, can we stop real quick? Wait, before you get into it. Before we start learning, could Travis and I, or maybe all three,
I don't want to do one. It,
could we all practice our like moan and see if it gets better by the end of the article?
I think that's a good point. Yeah, we never do that.
Can I put a codicil on this? We eat it a big beef sandwich and it tastes good. And this is the moan that comes after it because I do not want to expose our listeners to anything
it's a beef sandwich, right?
Actually beef salacious sandwich. Involving us. This is a beef sandwich satisfaction.
Okay. Sandwich moan. And this is our appropriate for your ringtone.
This is our big sandwich moan. Our real big sandwich moan.
How big's the sandwich, girl?
I regret this question.
Okay, I'll do mine first.
Justin, you go first as the oldest.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. That actually felt really,
I feel like I've heard you make that noise post-sandwich before.
Or it's usually when I sit down.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah. Let me see, because I'm going to do a combination of like, I just tasted it and it's good.
Yeah,
and
go ahead. Then
hey, don't put a hat on a hat, man. Okay. Just moan like you ate a big sandwich.
That sucked, actually. I hated, for whatever reason, I liked Justin's.
Why was Justin's good? Is it because Justin did an open mouth?
That's weird. Oh. All right, let me try
it. Oh, worse.
Wait, so what's wrong with me?
Here we go.
Oh.
I'm going to eat the big sandwich.
I don't know, Trev. If you figured it out, please let me know.
Now, Griffin, was that your real big?
You did a bit. It's impossible to judge your growth if you will commit more than that.
But I like to, these are the barriers. I actually, Travis, if you make that noise one more time, I'm not joking. I'll hang up the call that we're doing.
How am I supposed to get better if I don't practice?
Shh, listen.
We each get one more when you're done with the article. Fair.
You two will finish the show without me.
Please don't.
Okay.
He will definitely do
that. I'm going to try not to, but I get Travis. To do one after the fact because I have to compare.
A moan is sexy, involuntary noise you moan in the heat of the moment because you're overcome by sensation from the big beefy sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Not everyone moans naturally, but training yourself to moan can be a great way to show someone that you're enjoying yourself. Okay. Understanding the moan. Know that moaning is involuntary in theory. A moan is a noise of passion that escapes you when you're overcome by pleasure or sensation. I'm actually, my nerves are so like high strung right now that I need you all to not even make like agreement moans.
But Griffin,
okay, all right. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why do you feel like the anxiety is so high right now?
Why are you so off put by it?
I thought that this is one of, I'm going to put this.
Is there something else going on in your life that I don't know about that has gotten you feeling so stressed? That's what I'm asking.
I'm putting this bit in a box that I have labeled things I thought would be funny, but turned out to be instantly so gross that I didn't want to be associated with it any longer.
You're getting on me about my car wash subscription. I'm getting on you about label maker prices. I mean, you're burning through this tape with these huge labels.
Listen to other people moan. Watch YouTube videos about how to moan. Yeah, that's where they are.
Not on my YouTube, I'll tell you that. I guess that, hey, WikiHow, at least provide some search terms if that's your claim. Because most of the time, YouTube be like, no.
Okay, don't feel pressured to moan. Everyone responds to intense pleasure in their way, and you don't need to force yourself to moan if it doesn't come naturally to you. Yes, some people are naturally very loud in bed, but the moans you hear in movies or pornography are intentionally stylized versions of reality. So that's an important one. Don't just make the sound because you think you're supposed to make it. It should be an exaltation of joy.
Pleasure.
Well, now hold on, WikiHow article. How are you going to teach me how to make the sound, but assume I just know the right time to do it? Give me some pointers on timing as well.
Oh, we'll get
Because you don't want to do it right at the beginning. Right?
Yeah, that's
I definitely
a good point.
Know that.
You just like zip. avoid outright faking it, of course.
I do. I will say that I do tend to moan when I take my belt off for the day.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Shoes is a good one.
My
tight socks, really.
My rendered waist flesh can finally begin to heal. moan softly during foreplay. Moan loudly when things get intense. Now, that's interesting. Now we're talking about like we're putting together like a DJ like playlist. Like you want to get the party going with a and then get into the like that kind of
but
stuff.
But how loudly? Once again, I'm going to need some decibels here because there is definitely a level you could hit where they'll be like, whoa.
Okay, so this is where the rubber hits the road, practicing your moan. Start by sighing softly. That was great, guys. That was great, and it didn't make me feel uncomfortable.
Okay,
breathe,
this is great.
Breathe in and out audibly. Sucks so fucking bad.
That's in it, but Griffin, that's good. Because
okay.
Now we have like
now we know what
parameters.
The, yeah, sure.
Right, it's somewhere in there.
It's sigh, in there.
Sigh, fine.
Good.
Whatever noise I was making,
bad. We hate
it. Yeah. As your breathing intensifies, add some voice and tone to your breath.
No, wait. I'm doing gorilla. I think that's the problem. Yeah. It just hit me. I was doing gorilla.
I was doing like sort of like Appalachian sort of scream scat, which was which is also pretty fun. Add in a few so try it out,
Jonathan,
next.
Calm down.
I don't know who that is whenever we do that sound, but it just turned into Animal from the Muppets a little bit.
Do you actually not know?
Lead singer is it Korn from the
Jonathan
song Falling
yeah,
Away
okay,
From
that's
Me?
That's what I thought
from
it was
Freak
a Korn thing.
Oh, Freak on a Leash? I thought it was Falling Away From Me.
Anyway, try it out next time you're with a partner. Please don't do this. Please, we're having fun. Don't do this. Remember that there is no right or wrong way to moan. We have proven that to be categorically untrue. There may only be like four correct ways to moan and then an infinite spectrum of bad and wrong ways to moan.
Like, we can also narrow down just like vowel sounds that are, because like, ooh, is not a good
ooh
one.
It was bad.
In the moment.
Bad.
Is classic. Now, a lot of people don't do consonants, which is interesting. If you're wrapped with pleasure, you just be like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
X, baby.
That's cool.
What a sandwich. I love that beef.
Have you guys
watched my mode?
Have you guys been watching The Bear? It's great. It's about a guy, and he's really stressed out about these beef sandwiches he makes, but then he feeds them up, and then he serves it to people. And every episode has a special guest star on it, and they're very famous people. And then they'll be on there, like Patrick Stewart will be on there, and he'll be like, yeah, chick, 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 chick. Be like, what is wrong with you? That's it for the article. I don't
know. No. We're just getting started.
I mean, I can see if there's additional questions. There is none.
Any comments?
No, it's got a 64% on
so close.
Review.
Where does that stand? We don't really cover that number very often. Where does that get you, that percentage?
Well, Justin, the way that percentages work is it's out of 100.
I mean, so I guess, yeah, that's true, right? It's easy to compare. Okay, Trav, are you ready for Trav to do his bone, Griffin, or should I go first? Or
But here's my only request. Make it funny.
Okay. Well, we've learned a lot here. Let me think.
Yeah,
I'm going to combo some things.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best idea.
Okay. Oh yeah.
That one I don't like.
Oh, sound effects. We didn't even.
Oh, that's fun.
I like the creaky door. Can you do the creaky door again?
And maybe you can even work a song in there.
Yeah.
So you can be like, and that's all you need to do.
Hit that note.
That was really good.
I know in your head you were worried that you weren't going to get there.
Oh, I knew. I knew I could figure it out.
Okay. Thank you, Griffin, for sharing that. We are going to take a very brief commercial break, by which I mean we're just going to talk about brands for a little bit, and then we'll talk about things other than brands. But probably we will talk about brands as well, unpaid, because that's our thing. Let's go to the money zone.
It's better with you. The other day, I posted this picture of Justin and I at the Georgia Aquarium. It's a great picture posted on Instagram. And someone said that my fit looked good. That's all Stitch Fix, baby.
Yeah, fit is good.
Fit is good. It was Stitch Fix pants. It was Stitch Fix shirt. I think it was my own shoes. The other ones I think I'm just renting from Stitch Fix, but it was my own shoes. But I want to say thank you to Stitch Fix for getting all of my shit together.
Yeah. Someone had to do it.
Someone had to do it, and I appreciate it. You guys are also Stitch Fix boys, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. We should have come up with, like, names for, like, if you're, like, you're a fixie. Or you're just like a
fixer. A fixer sounds cool, doesn't it?
Oh, a fixer. Stitch guy?
I was about to say this is Stitch Fix, and then I saw that's got a little Donald Duck poking out.
Oh, that's probably not.
This is from the parks. I got this secondhand off eBay. But it's the one garment I own that I didn't get from Stitch Fix. Everything else.
So, how does Stitch Fix work? It's simple. First, take a few minutes to set up your Stitch Fix style profile. Answer a few questions about what you like to wear, what you don't, and how open you are to trying new styles. Then, Stitch Fix expert stylists will go to work finding items exclusively for you. Every piece is handpicked for you and is unique to your size, style, and in your budget, which is nice. That's nice. I like that. Stitch Fix will send you 5 pieces to try on at home. Keep what you love and send back what you don't. Shipping, returns, and exchanges are always free. And let's be clear here. Yeah, sometimes it's like pants and shirts, but also sometimes, right? Teresa's gotten like jewelry in there. I got shoes. Whoa. I get all kinds of stuff, right?
So a new car?
What?
A new car?
I've never gotten a new car in there yet, but Stitch Fix, if you're listening, I wouldn't say no. I mean, if the price is right and if it fits me.
If you think these ads are good now.
Yeah. Oh, give me a car.
A new car in there for me. Oh, yeah.
I love that. Sign up today at stitchfix.com/mybrother, all one word, to get $20 off your first purchase. That's stitchfix.com/mybrother to get $20 off your first purchase. Limited time offer. Purchase within 2 days of sign up.
Are elephants right-handed?
What's the middlest size in the universe?
What is the history of fan fiction?
Let's find out together on our show, Let's Learn Everything, where we learn anything and everything interesting.
My name's Caroline, and I studied biodiversity and conservation.
My name's Tom, and I studied computer science and cognitive blah, 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 blah.
Did you? And my name's Ella, and I studied stem cells and regenerative medicine.
On our show, we do as much research as you would for a class, but we don't get in trouble for making each other laugh.
And we get to say f***.
Maybe not in the trailer.
Subscribe to Let's Learn Everything every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.
Justin, do one of your classic bits.
Yeah.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah, make it funny.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Can I just read a... Okay.
Yeah!
I want a munch.
Squad!
I want to munch.
Squad!
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast of the podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating.
Just real quick, because I'm trying to highlight what great job you guys are doing, Griffin. When you said squad, you sounded exactly like Toad from the Mario games, and I loved it.
Oh, did I really? Happy.
Yeah.
Does he yell squad a lot?
No, I don't think he says squad, but just like the way he would do it, it made me really happy.
There is a low helicopter over my house right now.
Oh, I found you.
I think it might be Joe.
Oh, he's landing?
I think it might be Joseph Gordon-Biden.
McDonald's introduces cheese Danish to bakery menu. I just want to mention this very briefly because the lead on it says it's giving fans a tasty way to switch up their seasonal routines in a world of pumpkin, maple, and pecan.
Burn them down.
So I just love that McDonald's is like, are you going to go with the pack? Are you going to go to McDonald's? Are you going to be a free thinker? Are you going to go to McDonald's? Another quick brief. I just want to say, tell Wingstop to fuck off because they came out with a chicken sandwich.
What?
Like, just go ahead and put it out. No problem. You're an infant.
Your name is Wingstop.
You're an infant tickling yourself with a razor. You don't know what you're doing. The Wingstop entered the chicken. How many more? It's cost actual lives. I'll keep saying it till it sinks in. They're offering their sandwich in the brand's 12 bold and distinct flavors. Wingstop quickly revealed that customers have been constrained to a category of bland, where their only options are plain or spicy breaded sandwich. The flavor craving is real. With Wingstop selling out its entire supply at 1,600 U.S. locations in a matter of days, beating out Super Bowl Sunday transaction levels.
Wow.
Here's some key stats. Are you guys ready for this? They sold over 1 million chicken sandwiches in 6 days.
Is that a lot, though? Because I don't know...
Yeah, I don't know either. There's a lot of facts like this.
I mean, it seems like a lot to me. Like, if someone said, you have to eat 1 million chicken sandwiches in 6 days, I'd be like, that's too many, right?
They sold out of... This one gets me. They sold out of a four-week supply in just 6 days, with some restaurants wiped of supply in as little as 2 days. I'm just going to come out and say it. This is a new product. You sent them a 6 day supply.
Yeah.
Proven.
What were
it's
you
not
basing?
A 4 week supply.
Yeah. What were you basing that number on?
Yeah, it's a 6 day supply. That's it.
We sent them some.
Why do these places insist on bragging about their poor supply chain?
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Also, how did you run out? It's chicken on a sandwich. Did you,
yeah.
like, you killed all the chickens you had? Like, what happened? You did a bad job.
These
how
eggs
did you
are
run
not,
out?
These eggs are not hatching fast enough.
How long does it take you to get more chickens to the restaurant if on day one it wasn't like, oh, we used up a lot of them today, send more?
Here's another one. Exceeded chicken sandwich sales expectations by 300%. That's a fucking cool way of saying you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like,
we
you
didn't
don't
believe
doing,
in ourselves.
You should probably get somebody who can guess, who can take a bite of a sandwich and be like, yeah, they'll buy like 1,000 of these. No
yeah.
problem. Like, you should probably hire that person to tell you. The viral marketing campaign for this, and I'm sure you all heard about it, it was number
Absolutely.
3 trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
With all 100K free sandwich codes and giveaway called Chicken Sandwich Split claimed in under a day.
Now, hold on. 1 million sandwiches sold, 100,000 of them were free. Seems a little inflated to me, everybody.
Seems like they're trying to boost the juice just a bit.
Just a little bit.
Maybe also, once you knew all 100,000 coupons were claimed, why weren't you like, we should make more?
We're
probably
going to
need more.
We've written so many chicken checks. We have got, and people are going to cash them. They are
so
going
angry.
To, they are literally going to come home to roost, and we must be ready for them.
We have put them all in one basket, and I'm angry at ourselves for doing that. Why didn't someone warn us
before? There's so many idioms about knowing how many chickens or birds you have on hand at any given time. There's a lot of them, more than any other object.
Heads up, Sam, if you go to Wingstop.com, which, by the way, traffic doubled over its usual rate at Wingstop.com. If you go, there's a big banner ad that just says, heads up, sandwich lovers, the new chicken sandwich is sold out.
Oh.
Sorry, we fucked up so bad, it says. But we really got cucked by all you sandwich-loving maniacs.
It's supply chain issue. We ran out of microchips to put into the sandwiches, and we got to wait for more to come in from overseas. That's on
the
us.
The launch of our Wingstop chicken sandwich in 12 flavors exceeded our expectations on all fronts, says disgraced CEO Michael Skipper, who doesn't even know if his chicken sandwich is good or not, so he only does 1 million of them. People are wild about these things. Our craveable product and viral campaign drove unprecedented, extraordinary demand from both our core guests, as well as brought in a lot of new Wingstop fans to the brand.
But don't Thanks worry, to... we just squandered all that potential by then not having any more to sell them. So
they
any,
were coming by.
Any kind of goodwill and notoriety we are gaining by popularity was then crushed as someone came in on day 7 of selling a new product and we said, oh, it's out.
No.
We don't have any more.
We didn't think anybody liked chicken and bread. Thanks to strong, trusted relationships with supplier partners, we anticipate having chicken sandwich supply back in restaurants soon.
Oh.
So fans and new guests alike can get their hands on this new favorite chicken sandwich.
So you can really capitalize on this moment 2 weeks later.
Yeah, they can prey upon our weakness. Chicken sandwich seekers can be alerted of restocks by signing up for Wingstop.
Oh my God.
Get out of the town.
Can you imagine? My wife asks me every time I get an email and it makes the little email sound. She's just like, just being curious, taking interest in my life. Who's that? And I would have to say, like, oh, goodness.
Oh, baby.
Actually, I can't fucking talk to you right now. I have to get the
You're already halfway out the door. Now, you don't have any shoes on. What are you doing?
I don't care.
You don't understand.
Chicken sandwich seekers can be alerted to restocks by signing up for Wingstop's digital database, where, once back, it can be purchased at a compelling value of $5.49 for an a la carte sandwich with a dip, or $7.99 for the combo with fries and a drink. Hey, guys, charge more! You fucked up! Charge 3 times? You did a six days, 4 week supply. You're charging 1/4 as much as you should be. Charge $30 for the sandwich.
Yeah. Or make them a quarter smaller. Like, just there's a quarter the size.
Sandwiches.
These are sliders now.
Sliders. They're sliders. We're cutting. I heard there was one restaurant where the demand was so bad that they started cutting the chicken sandwiches in half. And they were charging people full price, but they cut the chicken sandwich in half. Then they ran out of halves and they started cutting them into fourths. And then they realized, wait a minute, we've passed out many more sandwiches than we should have. And they went back to the back. And there was more wedges of chicken sandwich. And they just kept cutting, and there just kept being more chicken sandwich. Did you guys hear about that? That happened at Wingstop. God's not dead. He's at Wingstop.
He's at Wingstop.
And even he can't get this fucking sandwich.
No. I do want a fucking chicken sandwich now, though.
Yeah, I always do. That's all anybody ever wants. We cannot rekindle the flame of war. We've moved on.
I'm a potter from Brisbane, Australia, and I come to you, the wisest of boys, for advice. Every time, I'm a man, by the way. I'm changing the brand.
Oh, when did that happen?
I'm the man. We're
the man, you say.
I can moan. I'm a man. Every time I meet someone new and they ask me what I do, I'm always met with some variation of the same line when I tell them I'm a potter. They say, like in Ghost? This is something I could laugh off at first, but now I find myself grinding my teeth, waiting for the inevitable, haha, do you and your husband ever do the ghost thing, every time I tell them what I do. Mm-hmm. Even fellow artists have asked me this. Brothers, how can I tell people my profession without them thinking that I'm getting nasty with some crazy Swayze fantasy? Crazy Swayze fantasy is pleasurable to say.
Really fun to say.
Also, should I watch Ghost? Seems like a culturally relevant flick. Sorry. That's from Sorry Ghosts. I don't like you like that. It's weird you wouldn't check out Ghost.
After a while, Justin, it's a thing. You've never had this happen to you where, like, someone's like, oh, you'd love it. And be like, yeah, I haven't seen it. Right? And it's just, like, become a thing. Like, I've never seen Avatar, the Avatar movie with the blue people. Never seen it. Not, like, because I'm opposed to watching it. I just haven't. And at this point, what's the right time?
You should feel happy that we don't have a Patreon, because if we had a Patreon, you definitely would have watched that movie by now.
That's probably true.
I definitely would have made you do, like, a commentary track to Avatar.
To this Potter, perhaps
The Last Airbender.
Perhaps, no, I would never watch that again. The TV show, great. Movie, boo.
What a bold, brave stance.
Yeah, a bold stance that The Last Airbender movie sucks.
I can't believe he said it.
I said it. That's right. Welcome to Bold Takes. I would say to the Potter, maybe get ahead of it and say, yes, I'm a Potter, and I often do that ghost thing with my husband. Sometimes I just do it with a ghost. Nice to meet you.
Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah.
You could also say, no, I don't. It's actually pretty hard to stabilize some clay you just threw down a wheel when someone is trying to spoon you.
Yeah.
Sort of sitting up spectrally. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever tried to spin that good clay, that good wet mud, to try to make
terrifying.
A big urn or vase. It's fucking hard. You are fighting
really hard,
the centrifugal force of nature and trying your best to make it not look bad or wrong. And you have to really be present. If you lose concentration for even a second, that thing is going to end up splatting against the wall like a big pizza pie.
I've watched the throwdown. Yeah, absolutely, dude.
And so the last thing you need is someone behind you like, you smell good. Like, that's
you don't
not,
need the extra hands.
When I'm doing art, I don't need the help. Thank you, Patrick.
But now maybe you could just, like, turn it around. And they're like, oh, do you think? And you're like, yeah, no. But what about you? Do you ever fuck ghosts at your job? And then see...
That's great. I don't come to your job and tell you to fuck ghosts and how to do it.
And now it's a conversation. You know what I mean? Now we're making friends out here. Does your partner ever walk up behind you while you're doing someone's nails or whatever and they start spooning you in front of the customers? No. Weird. Anyways.
Does this person meet famous baseball players? And like, so does an angel ever pick you up by the armpits so you can jump up super high to catch a home run out of the air?
No, I think, but the difference there is, Griff, we have a lot of different ways of thinking about baseball. For some reason,
They did this one wild thing in a Swayze movie once, and it's okay. All anybody knows about pottery.
Yeah, that's we need to get true. More pottery references out there yeah. in society.
The problem is I'm thinking about a pottery-based movie, and mm-hmm. I made myself bored. Like, oh, no. just with yeah. a single thought. And I'm not saying that pottery is boring. I'm saying that it's watching
pottery
it,
is boring.
Pottery is boring.
Oh,
thank
here's
you.
What you do, Griffin. You make a pottery movie. Yeah. And you add in, like, a beefy, sexy partner that comes over and sits behind them. And, oh, fuck! No, I did it again. I tried
you
to
made
sex
the, You made yeah, sexy yeah. ghost movie again.
It is yeah, really sexy funny. When people do
what
that.
What if instead you know? Of a ghost, it's a mummy?
Oh, now that's going to be a problem because it's going to get the bandages real dirty.
Well, the bandage is going to get stuck to the vase and it's going to unwrap the mummy. He's going to spin around really, really fast and that's turn funny. Into just skeleton bones. And yeah. then the bones are going to collapse. And then you turn to the camera and say, no bones about it.
That's right. That yeah. would actually be a good way of ending the conversation if you were just like,
actually, no, I'm but here's for, a.
No, but I am horny for mummies. If you're now, curious.
Now, what if it was a vampire and they're yeah. doing it and they're already in a position to bite that neck, right? So as you're doing it together, they're also draining you. And then they pass out and the pot falls off and breaks. And then the vampire says, well, this sucks, right? And then it's like then.
Justin,
that's
you do
into,
one now?
I don't actually understand the.
Okay, so I'll give you another example. A Frankenstein monster comes yeah, up behind you. And he just tries to do it, but he squishes it. And then, like, it rips his, like, one of his zombie arms off and throws mm-hmm. it across the room. And he's like, hey, can you give me a hand?
Oh, that's pretty
so
good.
That's the construction of the joke, Justin. Oh, if you, oh, now oh, you can do okay, one because so I know a, you know other monsters.
It's a mummy.
I did a mummy behind. One. We've done mummy, vampire, and a Frankenstein monster. So
I did
want to
do a different mummy one, though. I
okay, okay. okay.
We'll see it.
It's like a reboot yeah, of sure. the mummy.
Oh, sure. This is the mummy, too? Okay. This,
no, it's a reboot of the mummy. Oh. It's like different.
He's with like Tom Cruise?
He's helping, who's in a reboot? Probably Rooney Mara. And he's
yeah,
helping
oh my
her.
God, Justin, that was really good, actually.
Yeah, this is a good pull.
That is who it's would be a, in the ghost reboot.
That's exactly who would be in Mummy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's doing it for like a long time, and then he's like, can we wrap this up?
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's good. But something has to happen to him violent. Some violent but thing then, has to happen to him. And he
but then she's
to.
Like, you know how Rudy Mara always talks, and she's yeah, like, yeah. sure. And then
yeah.
she jams his, like, one end of his thing into the pottery wheel. And
his
it starts,
thing?
Like,
wait. Wrapping.
Rooney Mara grabs his dick and shoves it
in, into the pottery, and it starts spinning, but then it's spinning him around, right? It's spinning the mummy around and peeling off his wrapping, and it's just bones.
Okay.
And they fall to
now
the ground.
It's a skeleton.
And then he's like, and then she's like, well, that was a boner, wasn't it?
Oh, wait, she does two different voices in the movie?
And two different puns?
She's possessed by Helen Mirren's ghost because it's teaching the
mummy. All right, all right, all right. Okay. Yeah. I love
that. Oh, so you knew that Matthew McConaughey plays the mummy. Okay,
I knew
so
it.
You guessed that already, Griff.
Yeah.
Okay, now a werewolf comes in.
Yeah.
And a werewolf sits behind her, and they're doing it, and then it stops. And she's like, what yeah. happened? And he goes, I just had two paws.
So a cyborg comes in and immediately crushes the vase as soon as he touches it.
Yeah.
And he looks at him and he's like, This mega bites.
Oh, that's very good. Now what would it be if a Dalek came in, Griffin?
He would come in and hold on. Let me think of a funny joke.
Okay, give him a minute, Justin. Just back off, okay? Give him a second. Justin, just calm down. He's thinking. I can see it on his face. He's got it. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Here it comes. Oh, here it comes. Oh yeah, yeah.
Be
yeah.
like,
here it comes, baby.
Like, so he would come in and he would. He doesn't have the arm. He doesn't have arms or hands. And so he would probably just look at it, and he would be like, such beauty does not compute. Beep, boop, borp. And then his shell explodes, and the, you know, the dog man inside of that pilots it pops out and smashes through a window and runs off. And then Doctor Who shows up with and he has a gun, and he runs into the room, and he's like, which way did he go? And then she's like, out the dog man ran out the window, and you see him go to the window and just like fire off a few rounds, and then he looks back and he's like, I got it. What happened? And then he comes up behind Rooney Mara, and he sets he sets the gun down.
Yes,
and then he is like, and let's try this again, but we'll use some of my space clay. And he sets down space clay on the wheel. And when it spins this time, it doesn't just make a vase. It makes it instead of just making a vase, it makes a mirror, a little mirror. And when you look inside of it, you see the moment of your death. And this is my new movie, Ghost.
Okay, wait, hold on. You've lost it. You've lost it. And we've lost it. And by it, I mean the time that we had allotted.
Darth Vader comes in.
Okay, thank you, Griffin.
He puts his hands on
it. I really appreciate you for that.
How many hands are on the mirror at this point, Griffin?
It's not a mirror anymore. It went back to being a vase.
Oh, okay, cool.
This is our podcast, and we very much appreciate you being here. I hope you've got that new Montaigne album.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord Almighty, it fucking slaps good. It slaps real good.
They did a real nice job on that one.
They did a great job cranking that one out.
Oh, yeah, great. And what's the name of that one? Where can we find it? You know, just, if you search Montaigne.
If you search Montaigne, it'll pop up.
Point. But the new album is called Making It. It's got a very cool cover. It's got lots of good songs. I mean, come on.
It's a slam.
Power ranking of the songs, I'm going to say Now in Space, still number one up in my book. I like In the Green Room, strong start. Of course, you can't be always be you with David Byrne. Just a fucking great album. Y'all have to listen to this one.
I'm very excited that she put JC Ultra on it, too.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, thank you to Max.
Fun fact about JC Ultra. Montaigne sent JC Ultra to us. When we first started talking about doing the theme song, Montaigne sent a demo of JC Ultra, and she was like, what do you think of this energy, this vibe? And I was like, that's fantastic. But that was the song that I'd heard where I was like, yes, she has to. Anyway, that's on the album.
Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Lots of great shows there, lots of great jokes, and lots of good education, too. They got jokes, education, and sports,
hot takes in there as well. We have some live shows coming up in just a couple weeks. 2 weeks, we're going to be we're going to be in San Jose on the 29th and 30th for Adventure Zone and My Brother, My Brother and Me. We're going to be in Denver on October 1st with My Brother, My Brother and Me. And then in November, we got some shows in Washington, D.C. and Detroit and Cincinnati. You can get all those tickets at bit.ly/McElroy Tours. Mask and proof of full vaccine or negative COVID test within 72 hours of event start is required. Also, this weekend, I am going to be at an event in Elmore, Ohio, and an event in Ann Arbor, Michigan. We'll tweet about that from the McElroy Family HQ to give you all of the details. Also, go to the merch store and check out all the merch there, including the Munch Squad hoodie and the Besties tee. 10% of all merch proceeds this month go to Earth Justice. Check that out at McElroyMerch.com. And don't forget to pre-order the Taz 11th Hour graphic novel. Pre-order are open now at TheAdventureZoneComic.com.
That's it for the show. Thanks for listening, y'all.
You're welcome.
Griffin, did you have an inspirational quote for us to wrap it all up?
Yeah, don't let anybody push you around.
Whoa.
Don't let anybody push you around into doing bits that you don't want to do anymore. Don't let anybody tell you have to do bits that you don't want to do anymore. Because you don't have to.
Got it. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
You were here at the same time as everyone else. You don't. Okay. It's not like you were last to call your seat in the car, and so you have to do a bit at the end of the show for 12 fucking years.
My brother, me. Kiss your dad.
You don't have to do that anymore.
It's better.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.